A mature philosophy of life originates in a natural thoughtfulness. To live without thinking is to fail in the proper use of the powers and faculties with which we have been endowed. To think without applying our thoughts to the conduct of our affairs is to substitute mere intellectualism for intelligence. It is seldom possible to perfect a personal philosophy without study, through which we become familiar with the deepest and noblest convictions of mankind. We must also call upon daily experience by which we can convince ourselves of the reality and integrity of certain basic principles, ever present and forever true. Beyond both study and experience are the internal faculties of the soul, and these must bestow final certitude upon our convictions. If, therefore, we live simply and wisely, seeking first the improvement of our inner lives, reserving an open heart and mind, we shall be guided and directed according to our needs and understanding. Each person must discover his own philosophy of life, and it is not fair or right to impose our codes upon others. It is also our responsibility, however, to share one with another such experiences as may have common value. We desire, therefore, not to convert or to convince, but to invite such a sharing with the sincere hope that some mutual good will be accomplished. My life has been devoted to the consideration of those essential doctrines which have most advanced the human state. Yet it would not be entirely fair to say that I have borrowed my convictions from antiquity or addicted myself to the words or thoughts of the famous or the illustrious. I have chosen rather a course tempered by observation and experience and mellowed by reflection. Weighing all things, I have chosen to cling to that which was good for me and most serviceable for those who have sought my help and guidance. From my search for the good and the necessary, I have come to the following convictions. I believe in one supreme and absolute power at the source of life, the cause of all living, and that this ineffable principle may justly and truthfully be named the One and the Good. Whether men call this universal divinity, God, or Allah, or Brahma, or Tao, is of no great concern, for such terms and titles reveal differences of language, but not divergence of ideas. Man has come to know this sovereign good through the seekings of his mind and the longings of his heart. It seems to me, however, that believing in good and in a God everywhere existing and forever the source of wisdom, justice, truth, and love, we must in the end come to the realization that all the workings of this creative power are necessary, beautiful, and virtuous. The universe in which we live is one of innumerable manifestations of the divine will. The world, therefore, must be essentially good, for it is not conceivable that a principle shall create contrary to its own nature. If, then, there shall appear to be injustice, inequality, and calamity in the world, they must originate not in the divine understanding, but in human misunderstanding. If it is not given to us to know all things and to solve all mysteries, we must seek through faith, hope, and charity for the beautiful and the good. The will of the eternal power is revealed to us through the laws governing the formation, generation, growth, unfoldment, and improvement of created things. Through reflection, we may experience the realities of these laws and discover them to be both wise and kind. We venerate eternal principles through obedience and through a cheerful acceptance of the lessons of daily living. The end of all learning, the fruits of all labors and endeavors, and the consummation of the deepest and most devout instincts and intuitions of our souls are that we shall come to honor and obey the rules of the vast plan of which we are the conscious and separate parts. All arts, sciences, philosophies, religions, crafts, and trades can enrich our inward lives to the degree that we realize that through them the sovereign laws of existence are variously revealed and manifested for our advancement and enlightenment. I believe that human consciousness is a being separate from the body which it inhabits, and that this consciousness existed prior to embodiment and will survive the dissolution of its physical form. I am convinced of this not only by the authority of religion and philosophy, but also by a natural sense within myself. This belief is reasonably sustained by the circumstances of living. It is difficult to rationally maintain that man is born, suffers, and dies without reason or purpose. Nor is it conceivable that experience, knowledge, and understanding, which are obviously and undeniably the richer fruits of living, should cease and be utterly dissolved by the phenomenon of death. Neither can I accept the doctrine of an eternal judgment with everlasting rewards and punishments, meted out at the end of one frail and imperfect span of years in this world. In the economy of nature, and in the benevolence of an abiding providence, all creatures possessing within them the life of the Creator must have an eternal continuance of themselves or in universal being. Life as we know it must therefore be an episode in a larger existence. For this and other reasons, I believe in the doctrine of rebirth as a pattern of life most honorable for man, most suitable to things known and seen, and best calculated to reveal the eternal goodness of the sovereign being. I am willing to accept the challenge of growth, to believe that I have lived before and will live again. My present state is the sum of my previous existences, and I am endowed with the powers and potentials of improvement by which I may advance my destiny according to my deserts and merits. I seek neither to be forgiven for my mistakes nor applauded for my attainments, but take my refuge in a law of eternal good which gives me the right to work out my salvation with diligence. I do not believe in a principle of evil, for I cannot reconcile such a doctrine with the eternal good which rules the universe with an absolute power. Yet I must explain, to the satisfaction of my own conscience, those appearances of evil which surround me. By experience and observation, I have satisfied myself that evil is another name for ignorance. Through ignorance, man becomes selfish, critical, and destructive. And from these abuses and misuses of his divine and natural resources, he causes corruption and discord in the way of life which he has fashioned. When man violates natural law or disobeys the code of his own kind, he brings upon himself certain retributions which appear to him to be unreasonable punishment. In the broad pattern of mortal existence, discord reveals the need for concord. Selfishness, the need for unselfishness. Cruelty, the need for kindness. And ignorance, the need for the tireless search after truth and beauty. Thus what we call evil is a servant of good, for it causes us, in the end, to depart from error and cling to reality. I believe in the inalienable right of every man and woman to worship his God and to seek truth according to the instincts and inclinations of his own heart and mind. Careful study has convinced me that all the great religions of the world, past and present, teach the same essential code of conduct. They all believe in the existence of a sovereign power or being. They teach in one way or another the immortality of the soul, and they affirm the ultimate victory of good over evil, light over darkness, truth over error. It seems to me that as the earth has many climates, suitable for the development of living creatures, so faith may have many names, but named or nameless, comforts and inspires those of sincere spirit who seek the consolation of devout belief. I would therefore never seek to convert a man from his faith or to another, but rather would help him in any way that I can to find the richness and fullness of his own religion. In time, he will realize that as one light can be manifested through many colors, so one truth can be sought and found through the several colors of sincere believing. It may happen, however, that different religions have advanced and specialized certain parts, tenets, and doctrines of the one and eternal religion. Therefore, it seems to me that through the study of comparative religion, we come nearer to the complete truth, which is the one and eternal faith. Conflict between beliefs, therefore, confuses and obscures man's natural instinct to worship the supreme good. For the same reason, I believe that all races and creatures are parts of one plan and should not be regarded as in any way separate or distinct from that plan. All men, regardless of their races or nations, their colors or conditions, share one life, exist in one world, and are the children of one creating power. Therefore, I shall measure a man, not by his complexion, but by his works, and will decline to hold any attitude which disparages him because of circumstances arising from birth or social estate. I am assured by my own conscience that if I cannot find the good in myself and in my fellow man, I shall in no way discover it in space or beyond the stars. I sincerely believe that I have been endowed with faculties, powers, and perceptions, for the use of which I am morally responsible. It is my duty to myself, to my world, and to the eternal power by and in which I exist, to govern my temper, subdue my appetites, refine my emotions, inform my mind, and increase my understanding. Failure to advance these causes must leave me a victim to my own intemperances and expose me to the just censure of my associates. Because I am a conscious being and not required to follow the immediate instincts and impulses of my disposition, I can be kind, just, gentle, forgiving, compassionate, and self-sacrificing, even under the most trying and difficult circumstances. Both by observation and experience, and by the testimony of the ages, I inwardly know right from wrong and good from bad. I may not attain to an absolute definition of these terms, but I understand them as they apply to me and to my own conduct. I cannot, therefore, claim to be wise, virtuous, or devout, unless by my actions I sustain such pretensions. It seems to me that the purposes of philosophy and psychology are to guide me in the moderation of my conduct. They teach me to be strong in the works of good, because they have brought me an understanding of the good.
This is the end of the recording on side one. Turn the cassette over to play side two.